and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 116, and today is Thursday, March 21st, 2013. Developing Perspective is typically not longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so first, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the previous episode in the series where I had a conversation with Sean Blanc about interacting with the press, about what that can look like, about some tips and approaches that you can take, I highly recommend it. I mentioned that mostly because I know a lot of podcatchers only download the most recent feed, so if you missed that one, definitely check it out. Today I'm going to have a talk about two things primarily. The first one is about split attention, and the other one is going to be about competition. So first, I'm going to talk a little bit about split attention. And this is something that I've run into this last week where I've been cruising along focused on getting my MyRecipeBook update out. Big update, lots of big features, you know, a lot of testing. And it got basically to the point that I'd put out my, like, internally my release candidate 3, I think was what I had put out. Kind of I'd gone through. It was basically just getting really ready to put those final finishing touches on and then ship. And then, of course, you know, last week, Google Reader announces, oh, we're going to close down my back burner project, the thing that I've been working on for the last couple of months but hadn't quite gotten ready yet. You know, Feed Wrangler all of a sudden gets pushed to the forefront, and suddenly I find myself in this really strange place. It's like, what should I work on? What should I do? And this is something that I've run into a lot of times, is how do you split your attention if you have a lot of different hats you're trying to wear or different things you're trying to juggle? And of course, this applies to a lot of other things too, because in addition to doing Feed Wrangler and, you know, my recipe book, all my other apps, and doing things like this show, doing Developing Perspective, writing on my blog, all those things take time and effort. And as I've talked about many times, I try very hard to limit the amount of time I spend on work stuff each day. And so what do? The reality is, and this is it's one of those things where I wish there was some way I could just, like, the next few words out of my mouth were some amazing shortcut or hint or tip that, like, maximizes your productivity and, you know, boosts you to the moon. But the reality is you just have to get comfortable with neglecting things and being comfortable and tolerant of the fact that you can't do everything that you might want to do. And I think the sooner you accept that and the sooner you understand that, the more productive you can ultimately be, because rather than trying to take on too much and just kind of balance it all, just accepting that, you know what, maybe sometimes you can't do the things you want to do, and lets you focus on whatever the most important thing to be doing right now is. And it lets you focus on that now rather than trying to think about the 4 things you could or should be doing. Just focus on the one thing you should be doing most, that you should most be doing right now, and just drive on that. And when you hit a point where that may not be the most important thing to do, you can switch gears and hit something else. But that's the only technique that I've ever found or approach that keeps me sane and seems kind of rational. And so, you know, it's like I'd started a thing where I was writing articles on my blog, trying to do 5 a week. That's not going to happen. And I'll try and keep up something like, you know, to increase my volume a little bit. But the reality is, in the range of things that I'm focused on right now, there's too many other things that are too important for me to be, you know, continuing to put that focus there. And that's disappointing. I'm sad about that. I was excited about starting this new kind of project and emphasis, and I hope to pick that back up as time or focus allows. But I'm okay with that. And developing that tolerance and not kind of beating yourself up about it is an important thing. And I think the important thing is to be conscious about that too. It's not just saying, you know what, it's like, oh man, I got so much going on, I'm trying to do this and that and this. It's understanding, like, you know, I got a lot going on, and these are the things I'm saying no to. These are the things that I'm ignoring right now. And just becoming tolerant and accepting of that is what I find to be very important. So the next thing I'm going to talk about is something that I don't know how to get into it, but it's a concept that I've run into many times of competition and about entering into markets where there's lots of other people doing what you do, or into a market where it's entirely possible that there'll be other people who do what you do. And so this is something I've recently just run into with Feed Wrangler, but it happens with almost all my other apps, where for Feed Wrangler specifically, obviously, working on an RSS platform, a syncing solution, iOS apps, those types of things, isn't a new concept. It's something that's been around for a while. There was a main dominant player who recently exited. But generally speaking, it's a very competitive market. And the thing that I ran into a lot this last week was I kept finding more and more services who are offering roughly the same at least conceptual service that I'm looking to offer, that I'm looking to build, that I'm getting close to building and hopefully going to be launching in a few weeks. But it's an interesting thing when you look at every time I run into a new one, I'm like, oh man, should I still be doing this? Is this worth my time? You know, am I just going to be launching something into a market where there's just no demand for what I'm doing? And for 5 minutes, I'm super discouraged. I'm like, oh, here's another one. You know, it's like I kept running into new services. And then it was like big major companies were announcing that they're entering it too. And now I'm going up against Dig, and I'm going up against Feedly and Newsblur. There's all manner of these services that are out there. And it's the same thing happens a lot with me in the App Store, where you'll have an idea, you'll have a problem or an itch or something that you want. You open up the App Store and you do a search. You say, hey, does something like this already exist? And you'll think to yourself, you'll see the results. You'll see like three or four things, the apps that already kind of do sort of what you're thinking about. And you'll say, oh, well, forget it. Now, the real question there is, how do you distinguish between the times when that is really the case, that you're kind of launching something that really doesn't have a future because it's very competitive, that because, you know, you're launching another one, just kind of like your Me Too app, and versus when you're launching something that is really going to have some legs. And the first thing to know is that it's impossible to know that ahead of time. As there's some hints and some things that I'll talk about, but the reality is you have to be doing something, not just because it'll be a commercial success, I think, that you think it'll be give traction. The only reason you're doing it is because you think there's a market opportunity and you're kind of going after it. That might work, but you're ultimately setting yourself up for a lot of frustration because there's a lot of things outside of your control that can make it not a success. So if you're not doing it because you enjoy it, because you like it, because it's a product that you'll use or like on a regular basis, it's going to be really problematic for you, I think, down the road. Or if, at the very least, if you're not building something and being very understanding and tolerant of the fact that that it may not go anywhere. Two, you have to be able to answer the simple question of what is it that you're doing that would be different, that differentiates you from someone else? And that's a different question than perhaps saying like, how would you market your app against someone? It's like, in what ways are you better than someone else? Because better is a really subjective thing. You want to have something, at least in generally, I would say that's objectively different. That is, that you're doing that you could anybody could see and immediately understand and determine that is a difference. And if they like that difference, then you have their interest. If they don't like it, then you don't. But it lets you very straightforwardly differentiate yourself. And so like say like on something like Feed Wrangler, right? What I'm doing there is a very similar solution to a common problem. And this is something that a lot of people deal with and address. And there's a few parts of how I do it that maybe are novel or interesting. The thing that I really am driving towards mostly, though, is that I want to create a platform that is focused on the customer and focused on longevity. And my goal isn't necessarily to dominate the market. You know, in fact, that's probably – in some ways that worries me if I ever had that much success. My goal is longevity and quality. And so, you know, that's something that is I'm trying to differentiate myself into, and I'm trying to build up my business model and my sort of support approach in the way that I do it as distinct from that. That like I don't expect, for example, to have any level of free account. It's possible that that'll change, but that's not something that I really am expecting to do right away. It's something that it's like, if the kind of person who wants to use this service would be using it because they understand that there's an individual who cares a lot about it, who's working on it and maintaining it down the road. And they're building into that relationship rather than into necessarily all the nuances of what I'm building. And so that is kind of the way I think about it. And I think it's really important to kind of differentiate those types of things. How would you consider success being the number one, or is a success being making sufficient revenue that it's worth working on and sort of having sort of interest in it, but then also being able to have a sustainable business model that lets you continue that indefinitely? And for me, that's the latter is what I want, what I'm interested in. And it's so that gives me a lot of comfort when I look that I'm going up against these large, bigger companies, often venture funded, often with very different goals or business models in mind. That when I look at them, I look at the resources they have, I look at the things they can bring to bear on something, and say like, oh man, am I going crazy? You know, sort of going up against somebody like that. And the reality is, there's a little bit of insanity about it, sure, but my goal is just for a few thousand people to like what I do and to support it. And if I can get that, then I'm golden. Then I can continue doing it. And that's my goal. And as soon as I start focusing on that, I think it really helps me to understand what makes me special and what makes the work I do different and lets me emphasize that and focus on that in the way that I build things, in the way that I market things, in the way that I communicate about them. You know, part of, in some ways even, I imagine it's like this show where I talk to a few thousand people on a weekly basis about what it's like to do what I do, to make apps, to run an independent business, to do all these kinds of things. Part of the benefit of that is that hopefully if you like what I do here, you may, some of you may like what I do for an RSS reader or for a podcatcher or for a recipe manager or an audiobook app or a weather app. And you're building I guess you could call it a brand in that sense, that you're building a philosophy and a way of that people understand about if you're getting an app from this, you know, from me, this is hopefully what you'll get, what you expect. And something that I think I'd encourage a lot of people to try and to engender into your software. That it's like, what do you want to be known for? And hopefully you can define that in terms that you'll be proud of, that it's not, I'm known for a large user base is not something I ever really want to be known for. I want to be known for quality. I want to be known for attention to detail, responsiveness, and independence, honestly. That it's something that I pride myself in that I have, you know, what I do myself. And there's benefits and there's pros and cons to that. But what it allows me to do is to be very agile, I guess, for abusing the term, you know, to allow me to make quick decisions, allow me to be very focused and kind of ruthless in a lot of the ways, things and things that I say no to, things that I say yes to. And that's kind of how I approach competition. You know, a lot of times I like to think about it too, that I'm often competing with rather than against a lot of the similar apps in my categories or services in my categories, because I'm not trying to take their customer from them. Usually what I'm looking for is if anything, I'm trying to appeal to a different set of customers in the first place. And that allows us to kind of, you know, coincide in a really happy place, which I enjoy. And so that's kind of competition. There are a couple of things I wanted to just sort of wrap up talking about. First, I wanted to mention that I am going to be at CocoConf DC tomorrow, which I think is Friday, March 22nd. I won't be able to be there for the whole conference, but if you're going to be in town for that, I'll be around at least in the morning. So hope to see you there if you're going to be around. Other random topic thought, and this is just something that it's probably timely for people in the U.S. I had a lot of great experience this year getting a CPA to do my taxes, and it's something that for the first year ever, I did both my business and my personal, and I highly recommend it. It is one of these things that I think I've mentioned many times on the show, that outsourcing the things that you're not good at, the things that you don't add a lot of value to, can really help enhance your time, your energy, and your focus. And so I did that this year, and it was awesome. She, A, did a great job and found things that caught things that I just wasn't aware of, I wasn't taking advantage of, that can help reduce, you know, the taxes I pay and all those kinds of things. So highly recommend it there. And then I also wanted to mention, there'll be a link in the show notes, but there's an interesting project Ash Furrow is working on that I wanted to mention here that could be applicable to a lot of you. He's working on a book for beginning iOS developers. And so I think it's sort of like a Kickstarter, but it's on Indiegogo. Check it out. There's a link in the show notes. Basically, he's trying to create a guide for your first app, which sounds pretty interesting to me. And so I just wanted to mention it here. Anyway, that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, complaints, I'm on Twitter at @_DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet at @DavidSmith. You can email me, David@developingperspective.com. Hope you have a great weekend. Happy coding. Bye.